are listening to the very best of community radio, presenting the gospel at 88.1. This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria, Louisiana.
Welcome to the media ministries of the Pleasant Hill Baptist Church, pastored by Reverend Joseph Garner at 1210 M.W. Harrison Street in Leesville. Now listen to the message already in progress by Reverend Joseph Garner.
Because the Bible says that it is in Him that we live, that we move, and that we have our being. So we thank Him, amen, for His goodness, for His grace, and for His mercy. Father, we thank You now for this preaching privilege, and we pray, oh God, that You would speak a word into our hearts and into our minds, a word, oh God, that will remind us that You are God and that You're God all by Yourself. We thank You, and we give You praise for what You've done, for what You are doing, and for what You are getting ready to do. We thank You for these blessings. In Jesus' name, amen. Let the church say amen. 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 I want to call your attention this morning to the book of Jeremiah chapter 1. Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse 10. Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse 10. There you will find these words. See, I have this day set thee over the nations and over the kingdom to root out and to pull down, and to destroy, and to throw down, to build, and to plant. And since some of you are still looking, Jeremiah, amen, we're going to read it again. Jeremiah is in the Old Testament, right after Isaiah. Right after Isaiah is Jeremiah, chapter 1 and verse 10. Let's read it. Y'all read it with me. Let's read it together. See, comma means what? All right. Okay, let's try it again. See, I have this day set thee over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out and to pull down and to destroy and to throw down, to build and to plant. Amen. Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, it is time to rebuild. Amen. Amen. Thank you, ushers. Thank you so much. Amen. As we look at the African American community, we see that many of our neighborhoods are in shambles. If we talk to caseworkers at Child Protective Services, we will hear that many of our families are in shambles. As we have watched over this last decade, the prison population has faded to black. And so we must say that many young lives are in shambles. As we have watched the aftermath of electing our first African-American president twice, we have seen how deeply divided our nation is and are left to conclude that our nation is in shambles. As we have seen many of our allies and once strong supporters of U.S. policy turn their backs on us, and we have had to send many of our young servicemen and women into harm's way, it appears that our world is in shambles. We are seeing many aspects of a morally emaciated society in shambles. But not only that, someone here today has come to church pressed and dressed, looking good on the outside, smiling and profiling, but on the inside, if you would be honest with yourself, you would admit that your life is in shambles. Someone here has come to church with your spouse on your arm, with that pasted on smile, but inside you know that the marriage is in shambles. But the good news I bring today is that it is time to rebuild. Tell your neighbor, it's time, it's time. It's time to rebuild. But I've come by on this Sunday morning to tell us, to alert us to this reality that In order for us to rebuild, we have to first of all have a blueprint. We need a blueprint. We need a blueprint. And I believe I have some witnesses here today who understand that if you're going to rebuild anything successfully, you need a really good blueprint. And I wonder if I have any witnesses here today who will testify with me that the Bible is the best blueprint around. You're going to rebuild your marriage, if you're going to rebuild your children, if you're going to rebuild your financial situation, I don't care what it is that is torn down, that is torn up, that is in shambles. I've come by this Sunday morning to tell you that if you want to rebuild it, first of all, you've got to have a blueprint, and the best blueprint you can have is right here in the Word of God. And I'm like this, I don't care if your word is bound in leather, I don't care if it's Android or if it's Apple, amen, you need some word, you need to have some word, you need to have, and I've said it many times that some of our Bibles get so excited on Sundays because they don't have any fellowship with us until Sunday comes. But I wonder if there's anybody here today who knows that there is power in the Word of God. And if the Word of God is a blueprint, if it has a blueprint in it to help me rebuild those things that are torn down in my life, then I really need to get acquainted with the Word of God. We need the Word. So God asked Jeremiah to be a revolutionary and to go against a nation. And I don't know why, but a lot of church folk think that to be a revolutionary requires that you've got to step outside of the will of God. However, when you look at this text, you understand that God instructs Jeremiah to be a militant and go to speak against a nation. God gives Jeremiah the role of a revolutionary. And since we're celebrating King Day this weekend, amen, I think that we all ought to be reminded that Dr. King was not some passive, weak fellow, amen, who just let folk do whatever they wanted to do to him. But in a real sense, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. was a revolutionary. Is there anybody here who remembers the stuff that he did? Amen. And let me tell you something. It took more manhood to not fight back than it took to fight back. Come on, don't act like you that holy. That if you had been there with dogs biting on you and water hoses being sprayed on you, that you would have been standing there talking about, bless the Lord. Oh, my soul, folk knocking you upside the head, dragging you. I see you, Brother Corbin. Amen. A lot of us would not be here today because we would have said something. Dr. King was a revolutionary, and I'm excited about, amen, this weekend, because not only was he a revolutionary, we understand that he had a blueprint. That's why he could stand up and say, I have a dream that one day this nation will rise up and live out the true meaning of its creed. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal. Do you know where he got that from? He got it from the Word of God, because the same God that made the white man made the black man. The same God that made the Hispanic, amen, made the Asian. And so God made all of us, and he made us in his image. And so the blueprint, the book, the Bible says that we are all created equal. That's why Dr. King could say, I have a dream that one day on the Red Hills of Georgia, the sons of former slaves and the sons of former slave owners will be able to sit down together at the table of brotherhood. I've stopped by to tell you, he got it from the blueprint. Somebody, we like to say it like this, when all God's children get together. What a time, what a time. That's why he could say, I have a dream that one day, even the state of Mississippi, and I just left there this week, a state sweltering with the heat of injustice, sweltering with the heat of oppression, will be transformed into an oasis of freedom and justice. And let me tell you, I found out in Jackson this past week as I was there that the mayor is black. A lot of the congressmen and congresswomen are black. Dr. King had a dream, but the only way the dream could become a reality is that it had to have the right blueprint. And is there anybody here who's thankful that Dr. King followed the Word of God? He had a blueprint. He said that he had a dream that his four little children would one day live in a nation where they would not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. Say, uh-oh. That tells us that we don't have the whole dream fulfilled, because we know what happened in Ferguson, and we know what happened down in Florida, and we know what happened in New York, that too many times our young people and even some of our adults are still being racially profiled. We're being judged by the color of our skin and not by the content of our character. So I hope that that reminds us on this King Day weekend that all of the work is not done. There's more work to be done. And guess what? If we're going to accomplish what Dr. King saw in his vision and in his dream, we're going to have to stick with the blueprint that he had. We're going to have to stick with the word of God. Do I have a witness today? And so some of you are probably wondering, preacher, why are you talking about revolution and rebuilding in the same breath? Because my brothers and sisters, history has shown us that out of revolution comes radical change. I said out of revolution comes radical. Is there anybody in here who needs a radical change? In your marriage, in your financial situation, on your job. See, some of us, amen, for the most part, most of us don't like change anyway. But there are two or three folk in this house who understand that if you don't get a change, and if you don't get a change real quick, you might not make it through 2015. But I thank God today that out of revolution comes radical change. And so maybe that's what some of you need in your lives. You need a revolutionary shakeup. Amen. That's what's wrong with some of you. You come in here and you won't say amen. You cross your arms and fold your legs or fold your arms and cross whatever it is. Amen. You want everybody else to do all the praising. You want me to do all the preaching. And you sit there like everything is hunky-dory in your life. Won't say nothing. I ain't saying nothing. That ain't deep enough for me. Well, I have come by to tell you today that if you're going to get radical change in your life, you better learn how to give God a radical praise. Do I have a witness today? If you're going to get the change you need in your relationship, you better learn how to give God a revolutionary praise. I'm talking about a crazy. I'm talking about the kind of praise where you're not worried about who's looking at you, and you're not worried about what folk are going to say about you. You have come in here today to say, if I don't get a radical change in my life, I may not make it. And so I don't care what you say. If I got to come out of this suit, I'm going to give God a revolutionary praise. If the hair has to come off, you're going to give a God a revolutionary praise. Let the makeup run. Let you get a tear in your stockings. You're really not worried about any of that. I need a change in my life, and I'm going to give God a revolutionary praise. Come on and give him praise. Till you welcome revolution in your life, in your ministry, in your home, on your job, the rebuilding cannot begin. Many of us talk about wanting change, about accepting change, but so often it's empty talk. And I know about empty talk. I've been losing 50 pounds for 50 years. I ain't seen it yet. Amen. Every time I think I've lost it, I back up on a mirror and realize it's still there. But I made up my mind, Brother Carvin. Amen. I'm not going to promote the diet, but they got this new plan, and I got to eat just a thousand calories a day. 1,000 calories a day. Tell your neighbor, amen, if you're going to, if pastor going to get changed, you got to do something revolutionary. And if you don't know how many calories I normally eat a day, you don't understand that 1,000 calories is a revolutionary change. Woo! But I want it. I want it. I want it. And I got mad when they told me that this swimmer, Michael Phelps, eats something like 10,000 calories a day. I said, now that ain't fair. How can he eat 10,000 calories a day and he don't gain a pound and I eat 3 or 4 or 5? Then they told me he works out and he swims every day. But I want to change. How many of you really want to change in your life? Tired of status quo. I think it was Einstein who said that it is insanity to expect different results doing the same old thing. He said in a real sense that you're crazy if you think you're going to get something different and you're doing stuff the same old way. Now, some of y'all mean mugging me, but I come by with a revolutionary word to tell you that if you're going to get a revolutionary change, you better do something radical in your life. Some of us got to change the way we walk. Some of us got to change the way we talk. Some of us got to change the folk we hanging around. Some of the negative people in our lives, if you're going to get revolution, you better learn how to tell some of them folk, amen, help them on the elevator of life. When you get to a floor and you realize they can't go up with you, push a button and say, here's your exit. Because I'm going to the next level. And I realize that if I'm going to get to the next level, I can't get there with the stuff you're feeding me. I can't get there with the stuff you're putting in my spirit. I want a change in my life. So let's look at the first part of that assignment. God tells him to uproot and tear down. Uproot and tear down. Have you ever driven by the future site of a shopping plaza or a major complex that is on undeveloped land? What is the first thing you see happening? They're not laying bricks. They're not putting steel on weeds. They're not, amen, putting concrete on top of twigs and branches. But what you'll find them doing, they're digging. They are uprooting and they are chopping some stuff down. To build, you've got to uproot. You've got to uproot to prepare for the foundation that will be laid. The foundation God designs for you cannot be laid out until some things are uprooted. Some of you ladies and some of you men too, you know about plants and all of that stuff. Amen. And I've asked y'all, don't send me no plants for my birthday and all of that. Amen. Because they live a short life. But some of you know about all of that and you've experienced a dying plant that had to be repotted. It's amazing that you can water it, you can take good care of it, but if you don't pay careful attention to what's happening to its roots or roots, it will die. Sometimes you can't tell from looking at the outside of the pot what the roots underneath the soil look like. But when you uproot the plant, do I have a witness here today? You can see that the roots are all tangled up so that the plant cannot get the water the way it should. And I'm trying to tell somebody today to look at what's growing under the surface of your marriage. I'm trying to tell somebody you need to look at what's going on under the surface of your ministry. What's going on under the surface of your work relationship? Because if you don't pay careful attention to what's happening at the root of the situation, the devil will sneak in and destroy. Do I have any witnesses here? See, if you'd been paying attention to the roots, you would have noticed, amen, that y'all ain't communicating like you used to. Not only are you not communicating like you used to, you're not intimate like you used to be. Something is happening at the root. And I've come out to tell you today, my brothers and sisters, that if you're going to grow and grow right in your relationships, in your ministry work, on your job, in your finances, whatever you do, don't neglect what's happening at the root. Y'all getting mighty quiet at me, but let me tell you, we have roots of unforgiveness in our lives. Some of us have roots of dishonesty in our lives. Some of us have roots of pretension under the surface, withering our witness and withering our relationships with family members and church members. Right in the church, you shouting and all of that, amen, but no, you hate somebody on your road. Some of you sitting here right now listening to the word of God, amen, being preached from this pulpit and got the nerve to say, I can't stand my pastor. You got a serious problem. There's a problem at the root. Do I have a witness today? We have roots of jealousy. We have roots of competition. We have roots of lust, lust for power, lust for position. All these roots twisted under the surface, pushing through the soil, are these roots that are killing the unity within the church and destroying the witness of the church in the world. God says uproot. And see, when God says uproot, uproot, I don't know if I'm from Louisiana or Texas, uproot, uproot, whatever it is, God says it's something we need to do. Do I have a witness today? Look at the structures erected among the people in the church, walls of classism. You know, I don't deal with them because they, amen, they're not on the same socioeconomic status as us. That ain't got no place in the church. If the truth would be told, all of us are a paycheck away from poverty. Let that check stop coming in. Amen. You might got a little something, something saved away, but if you don't get something else to make up for it real soon, you'll be on the same road with them folk you're talking about. They ain't good enough for you. Classism, and we've got exclusionism and sexism and elitism and all kind of isms and schisms in the house of God, but I have come by with the revolutionary word from my Father, and he told me to uproot it, uproot it. Amen. I've come by to tell you that if you don't like somebody in this house, you might be on your way to hell. If you got a problem with your pastor, you can't expect to be blessed. You ain't got to say amen. I know I'm right. I said, the devil knows when to get quiet. Do I have a witness today? Because you know you right in the crowd with the folk, amen, that's stirring up mess and keeping up mess and always whispering behind somebody's back and then smiling in their face and think you're going to get to heaven anyhow. The devil is a lie. You're going to bust hell wide open if you don't repent. And if you don't change and walk in the way and the will of God, do I have any witnesses here today? God says, tear it down. Secondly, not only does God tell Jeremiah that he must uproot and tear down, but God also tells Jeremiah that he must destroy and overthrow. Can I ask y'all a question? In your own lives, what are you willing to destroy and overthrow? What mentalities have you created that must be destroyed? What mentalities, amen, have you developed that need to be destroyed? Because mentalities formulate a structure that defines the parameters of our life. Mentalities become principalities. I'm trying to tell somebody that attitude that has crept into your life, amen, that has rubbed off on you from other folk. Did y'all know attitudes will rub off on you from other folk? Amen. You used to be a positive person, but now you the most negative person in the room because you've been talking on the phone and emailing and texting somebody that is full of negativity. You better tell those negative folk to get on, get out of your way, get out of your life, because if you're gonna be a man or woman of faith, you've got to have a positive mentality. I said, if you're going to be a man or woman of faith, you've got to have a positive mentality. You've got to have the kind of mentality that says, no matter how bad it looks, I believe God can fix it. You've got to have the kind of mentality that says, I don't care how sick I feel, I know my God is able to heal my body. Do I have a witness here today? You better develop a positive mentality. So when folk come to you talking about this ain't right in the church and that ain't right and he ain't right and she ain't right, you ought to have enough positivity in your spirit that you look at them and say, that's all right, baby, pray for them. Because the same God that brought you out of your mess, the same God that picked you up and turned you up, y'all don't want to, he will place your feet on solid ground. What is ruling in your life that needs to be overthrown? There are principalities in our lives that keep us from submitting to the will and purpose of God. Tell your neighbor, it's time to overthrow. And I need to let somebody here know that you have the authority to do. Jesus said, I have given you authority to trample on snakes. And not all snakes are slithering on the ground. Some snakes got two legs and two arms. Nice suit, nice dress. They even know how to say amen. But I thank God that he has given us the power to trample on some snakes. I don't care what you say about me, still I rise. Maya Angelou. I don't care what you say about me, as long as I know who I am and whose I am, I can walk in a room with my head up high, with my shoulders intact. Where are God's children at? If you know that you belong to God, you're a child of the Most High King, you ain't got no business running from snakes. You develop the ability to come up right up on that snake and put your foot on his head and say, devil, you are a lie. I'm a winner and not a loser. I'm the head and not the tail. I'm the lender and not the borrower. I am somebody. I am somebody. I am somebody. I am somebody. Jesus said, I've given you authority to trample on snakes. But not only snakes, he says scorpions. Y'all know who the scorpions are, don't you? I love that story about this frog and this scorpion. And the scorpion, Mike, was trying to get to the other side of the lake. And the scorpion went to Deacon Frog and said, Deacon Frog, I know you're about to hop over to the other side of the lake. I just want to know, can I catch a ride? Deacon Frog looked at the scorpion and said, no, because if I give you a ride, you might sting me. And that scorpion looked at the frog and said, no, I'm not going to sting you. I just need to get to the other side. And so the frog said, well, come on, hop on. And as soon as they got in the middle of the lake, you know what happened. That scorpion stung that frog. And the frog looked back at the scorpion and said, scorpion, why did you sting me? And that scorpion said, I can't help it. It's just my nature. And some of y'all accompanying with folk, amen, who got the can't help it. It's just their nature to lie. It's their nature to gossip. It's their nature to backbite. It's their nature to backstab. And you better learn how to identify the snakes and the scorpions and stand up with godly authority and put them under your feet. Somebody say all power. Jesus said you have authority to overcome all power of the enemy. The issue is not if you're able to overthrow. The issue is, are you willing to overthrow? Well, it's time to overthrow. As we look at the requirements of this rebuilding assignment, we see in verse 10 that number one, we must examine the roots under the surface. Then number two, we must deal with what is at the surface. And that means we've got to dismantle the structures that are in place that hinder us from the purpose